definitely one of the most complicated verses in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, it's so extremely complicated. I had to spend about half an hour figuring it out. So then I thought, well, maybe it'd be better if we read something simpler. Yes, so we'll do that actually. So, devotees, friends, is it okay if we read a different verse from 2:10? Have you been going through the Bhagavatam with?
Yes, so what we try to do is every evening after we sit as a family, we try to read one or two verses. And
okay, as a family?
Yes.
But what about with everyone else? Or is this the family?
No, we haven't expanded this yet.
No, but
we're trying to get all the Mahatma going, so
okay.
We can get there.
Look, if you don't mind, let me read something a bit simpler. Is that okay? Otherwise, yeah, so let's do that. You know what I want to do? Well, we actually just came from Cape Town. We landed this afternoon sometime around 2 o'clock. And in Cape Town, we were reading from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Which is what our Krishnachandra Prabhu requested me to read from, but we were reading from a different part which is simpler and I think easier to relate with, so if it's okay with you. Unless everybody wants something really complicated about the process of creation from Mahavishnu, I don't mind really. Anyway, let's give this a try. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, which is titled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. And let us read verse 10. First of all, though, please just repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Are you broadcasting this?
No.
Just recording it. Okay. Yes then, devotees, friends, let us read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, verse 10. It's a very interesting verse. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Translation: a person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desires or without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. You catch the idea? Anyway, we'll read the purport, which elaborates. But the basic idea is that whatever people are looking for in life, if it's something just very simple material thing, like money, help, which people pray for oftentimes. So whether it's just some simple, ordinary thing like, let me have better health, or if it is something very elevated like liberation from this material world, going back to the kingdom of God, this is a very exalted type of idea, or anything in between. Whatever anyone is looking for, the best way, the best thing to do is to turn to the Supreme Lord. Whatever it is, doesn't really matter. Okay, so that's the basic idea. Let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a lengthy purport. I will just perhaps read part of it. Let's see here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama, or the Supreme Personality. It is He only who can award liberation to the impersonalists by absorbing such aspirants in the Brahma Jyoti, the bodily rays of the Lord. The Brahma Jyoti is not separate from the Lord, as the glowing sun ray is not independent of the sun disk. Therefore, one who desires to merge into the Supreme Impersonal Brahma Jyoti must also worship the Lord by Bhakti Yoga, as recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Yoga is especially stressed here as the means of all perfection. In the previous chapter, it has been stated that Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of both Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And in the same way, in this chapter, it is emphatically declared that Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of the different varieties of worship of the different demigods. Bhakti Yoga, thus being the supreme means of self-realization, is recommended here. Everyone must therefore seriously take up the methods of Bhakti Yoga, even though one aspires for material enjoyment or liberation from material bondage. I'll just read a little bit more. The word akama refers to one who has no material desire. A living being, naturally being the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, has as his natural function to serve the Supreme Being, just as the parts and parcels of the body, or the limbs of the body, are naturally meant to serve the complete body. Desireless means, therefore, not to be inert like the stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness as, this is now a Sanskrit sentence, bhajaniya parama purusha sukhamatra swa sukhatvam in his sandhava. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifested even during the conditioned stage of a living being in the material world. And such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, means like charitable work, altruism. Philanthropy is the same thing, actually. Socialism, communism, etc. by the undeveloped minds of less intelligent persons. In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, family, country, or humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Such superb feelings were exhibited by the damsels of Vrajabhumi for the happiness of the Lord. The gopis loved the Lord without wanting any return. And this is the perfect exhibition of the akama spirit. Karma spirit, or the desire for one's own satisfaction, is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. I hope you're able to follow that. It is a little complicated, not too much. But compared to the other verse, oh, this is super simple. Okay, so let me read the verse again. Akama sarva karma va moksha karma udavadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham kalam. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must, by all means, worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. Personality of Godhead, that's Lord Krishna. Okay, let's say a few words about this. First of all, a couple of prayers. Nama Aham Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Niravishesha Shunyavadi Vastrachadesh Tarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adikora Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakapa Charibius Jagripa Sindhu Bhavacha Paridhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Hare Krishna everyone. I hope everyone is happy in Krishna consciousness. I hope everyone is chanting regularly. chanting your rounds on your beads, your japa mala. And I hope everyone is attending the programs regularly and finding it interesting and enjoyable and enlightening. This verse, if we catch the idea, it is actually very enlightening indeed. And we mentioned even a little bit right at the beginning that the basic idea is that whatever you want in life, the best way to achieve it is to worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Of course, looking around, I think you're all from Hindu backgrounds of one sort or another. And therefore you would be familiar with the practice of worshipping different, what we call demigods, devas, devis, Shiva, Durga, Kalima, if you're Tamil, Muruga, maybe Madhravaran, and these personalities, you've heard of these personalities. Yes, so people feel that they want something from this world for their enjoyment. So, for example, popular money. So many people want money, it's just practically everyone. And those at least who know about these things, they know if we want money, we must worship Lakshmi, because she is the goddess of fortune. And, you know, you've all seen pictures of Lakshmi. She's sitting there cross-legged with her hands out and all these coins are coming pouring off her hands. Right? You've seen that. Of course you've seen that. She's the goddess of fortune. Maybe not here, but at least in India, when the time of Saraswati Puja comes, what time Saraswati Puja is? Later in the year, whenever it is, I've seen many times, not here, but in India, at Saraswati Puja time, Saraswati is the goddess of learning, knowledge, and this is particularly important for children who are going to school. They want knowledge, they want to pass their exams. So you see in India, around the Saraswati Puja time, all these children come out and they have little, like a little plate or a little tray, and on it they have a sort of a very, very simple form of Saraswati. And they go door to door and ask people to give money. Yeah. This is children. Because for them, knowledge is very important. Education. For some adult, particularly an older person, they won't be so worried about education usually, but money would be more attractive. So Lord Krishna discusses this in Bhagavad Gita, how people, according to their material desires, worship different devas and devis. You know, if you're a little familiar with ISKCON, with the Hare Krishna movement, you would know that later in the year, usually October, this year, if I remember correctly, it's 28th October, we celebrate Govardhan Puja. this famous pastime of Lord Krishna, where he lifted the hill, Govardhan Hill, because there was a great storm. And so he lifted it like a massive, massive umbrella to protect the local people there. And what had happened, how it came to that point, was that Krishna's relatives and the other village people there in the what is called the Vrindavan area, they were farming people. And when you're farming, you need rain. Otherwise, yeah, you just have to have rain. And one of the demigods, specifically Lord Indra, he is in charge of rain. He is not in charge of learning or knowledge, like Saraswati. Neither is he in charge of wealth, like Lakshmi, but he is in charge of the rain, like the Universal Water Department, you could say, Imanzi. Anyway, so every year then, because they were farming people, the relatives of Lord Krishna, the village people there, they would do an Indra Puja, so they would get rain. However, Lord Krishna, this particular time, he convinced them not to. You don't need to do it. It's a long story. You know, when the time comes at the end of October, we'll explain to you. But this, the basic idea was, they wanted rain, they worshipped Indra. Yes, so, and of course, you know, amongst Hindu people, Lord Shiva is very popular. Shiva is known as Ashutosh. Ashutosh. Asha, meaning desire, and Tosh, meaning to satisfy. Ashutosh, he easily satisfies the worldly desires of people. So, Lord Shiva, actually Lord Shiva is a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and he himself is not very interested in these materialistic things. Someone may come to him and say, I want a house. As we say in Chatsworth, a big Lani house. Do you say that in Alberta? There's some big house. Yes, they worship Lord Shiva for a big house. But what does Lord Shiva live in? He doesn't even have a house. He's living under a tree. They may worship Lord Shiva to get nice motor car. Big, black Mercedes-Benz, the one with the dark windows. So they may worship him for something like that. What sort of car does Lord Shiva have? What sort of car? He doesn't have a car. He has Nandi the bull. And bulls are not known either for being very fast or for being very comfortable. One time, many years ago, actually it was 1976, I was in Vrindavan in India, just south of, between Delhi and Agra, if you know the geography there, and we decided to go for a trip, just a local trip, about 20 kilometers. Say 20 kilometers. from Vrindavan town to another sacred place in the area. So we thought, why not try a buffalo cart or a bullock cart? Either a buffalo or a bullock. Let's try it. Let's get into the local spirit. So we left. It was about a 20-kilometer journey, something like that. We left in the morning, maybe 7 o'clock. We arrived at that place 20 kilometers away at 7 o'clock that night. It took 12 hours. Poor bullock. I don't know how he or she made it. Anyway, that's what Lord Shiva has. He doesn't have Mercedes-Benz or, you know, an aeroplane, his own 747 or something like that. He just uses the bull. But someone comes and asks for a fancy motor car, he may give it. He may possibly give it. Or nice clothes, good health, you know. People pray for these things. However, in this verse, what is being said? That whatever you desire, including it might be a Mercedes-Benz or a big house or, you know, a Pierre Cardin sari. Do they have such things? If they don't, I'm sure they will. You know, it won't be long. Some fancy clothes. Lord Shiva, he just wears an animal skin. So the point being made here is that whatever you want, best actually to worship Krishna, because there's a special difference between Lord Krishna and the demigods, even Lord Shiva and all the others, Durga, etc., etc. There's a big difference. The demigods, like Lord Shiva, Durga, Kalima, they are living within this material world, and they're giving their business, or their duty is to give people material facilities if people approach them. But that's all they can give. That's all they can give. They can only give material facilities. And you know, for example, you get some money. After a little while, it runs out. Even when you get old, like me and like some of you here, then even you get a lot of money, you can't really do much with it. Because the body just hasn't got enough energy to travel the world and climb the mountains and things like this. And either you will run out of the money first, or you will die first, but one way or the other, it will all come to an end. And with all these things, the same principle applies. You worship Lord Indra for rain, if you're a farmer, and you may get rain, but then the rain finishes. So life in the material world is like that. Everything is temporary. Even if we mentioned Saraswati, goddess of learning. So even you become big scholar, and you get big degree, like PhD. You see this devotee here? With the shaved head, you see him? He's a PhD. In what is it?
Public health.
Public health. PhD, yes. Professor. public health, but when you get to my age, you're never healthy. There's always something wrong, without fail, without fail. And what to speak of, after a while, the body dies. Okay. But anyway, say you get some big educational qualification in this life. But then after some years, maybe 50 years later when you're 75 or 80, then you die. And then where is your PhD, Mr. Professor? When you die, where is your professorship? Where is it? When you're born in your next life, you have to start again. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. You have to start again. You can't tell them, you know, your parents enroll you in the school, you come on the first day and say, listen, I don't need to do this. I'm a professor for my previous lifetime. Sorry, you got to begin again. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. That's the nature of this world. People want to get things for living as comfortably as possible. But then after some time, it's all finished. And you take birth again, reincarnation, and you got to start from the beginning again. What is that? What sort of program is that? Maybe you become multi-billionaire. Maybe you become very, very rich person. But then after some years, you die. Of course, in the meantime, the land may lose value completely, and all your big money that you collected isn't worth much at all. Or else, yeah, you know, the mafia steals it from you. Or the government, it's sort of the same thing. And, yeah. Or else you just die. And then you just lose it all. And in your next life, you can't say, listen, I'm a wealthy person, I'll give you an IOU note, because I'm a rich man. No. From lifetime to lifetime, it's all lost. All these things which come from the demigods. Because they can only give things, worldly things. So therefore this verse is saying, whatever you want, you should worship Krishna. Because he is different. He is different from Shiva, Ganesh, Murugan, Santoshima, or whoever. You heard of Santoshima? What sort of Hindu are you? It's all right. Don't panic. But you heard of Madhavaran, right? Okay. Right, anyway, let's not get into Madhavaran. So, yes, Krishna is different. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that his realm, his place, is not temporary like the places of all the demigods. Krishna says, that abode of mine is self-luminous. It is not lit by the sun or the moon. And anyone who goes there never returns to this temporary world, because life there is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, in the company of the Supreme Lord. Not just some, you know, better standard of living for this lifetime, for a few years. You know, when you get to my age, it's a bit of a countdown. And I, you know, I'm looking around, I can see you're older than me. I won't ask you your age, Mr. Newman here. But I can see you're older than me. It's a countdown, isn't it? You know, there's not so much time left. When you're little, then life looks like it's just going to go on. But when you get 60, 70, or 70, many people don't even make it to 70. It's temporary. And whatever you've accumulated, worldly things, it's all gone. So, but when we approach Krishna, even if we approach him for worldly things, this is being recommended here, that even if you just want worldly things, money, etc., approach Krishna. Because as you develop a relationship with Krishna, then as you come closer to Krishna, as you get the mercy of Krishna, then gradually he will take you out of this material world to the eternal kingdom of God. And there's no health problems, no financial problems, there are no political problems. The election's coming up, right? 8th of May. Anyway, good luck. But there's no political problems. There Krishna is the Lord, unchallenged. And life is eternal. Instead of having these temporary bodies, which get sick from time to time anyway, but then later on they get old and they start just becoming less and less capable of functioning nicely. Everyone in the spiritual world has an eternal spiritual body. There is no ignorance. So, children, you know what that means? You don't have to go to school. Oh, is that a good idea? Because you don't need to. Because you already know everything. Because there is no ignorance. This is the nature of the kingdom of God. So therefore, it's being said here, whatever you want, if you want to become very wealthy and popular and powerful, just worship Krishna. He will help you, but ultimately he'll help you in that higher way to return to the kingdom of God. If you want liberation, to become one with God, maybe you've heard of that idea, mukti, moksha, to merge into the nature of God. If you want that, just worship Krishna, because he will give you the highest liberation, not just merging into his effulgence, but entering his eternal kingdom. So therefore, whatever it is, one should worship Krishna. It's always the best thing to do. Just one, I'll close by telling you a little story. There was one young boy, he was 5 years old. I'm looking around, all you children, you're older than five, aren't you? Are you 10, 12, 13? How old are you, young lady? 11. 11, wow. And how old are you? 10. And you?
13.
You're 13. Oh, you're big, you're an adult. How old are you?
13.
13 also. Oops. Wow, okay. Yes. Okay, story. There was this young boy named Dhruva. This is described, his story is described at length in Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, a little further on from where we are now. So he was a Kshatriya, means like a warrior, royalty, sort of like the ruling class, more or less. And that type of person, they have a sense of pride, being powerful, important, influential. So even as a child, he had that sort of mood. He didn't like it if people embarrassed him or made fun of him, something like that. He'd really get angry. And what happened was his father, it's a bit of a long story, we're keeping it brief. His father insulted him, actually, his father. And his father had two wives, would you believe? Two wives. We don't recommend it, particularly nowadays. Stick with one. Yeah. But anyway, he had two. And, you know, there was some sort of politics between the two wives. Who is going to be more prominent? And the mother of Dhruva, she was less prominent. And the other wife, co-wife, was more prominent. So like I said, it's a bit of a long story, but the father insulted Dhruva. Dhruva was only five. Father insulted him. And the co-wife or stepmother, whatever you'd call her, the other woman, told Dhruva, you want to be close to your father? You must take birth from my womb. Then you'll be recognized and accepted by your father. Otherwise you're sort of like second class son. So that really made Dhruva angry. That made him too angry. And he went back to his mother. He's only five. He went back to his mother and said, this is what happened. I want to teach my father a lesson. I want to get a kingdom bigger than his. And then that'll show him who's important around here. So he asked his mother, how can I get such a kingdom? And the mother said, I don't know. Then she said, well, I think you should approach God and ask him. And Dhruva immediately said, where is he? I want to ask him. Where do I find him? And his mother said, well, you know, when people want to find God, I've heard they usually go to the forest and try and search for God in the forest. Dhruva, 5-year-old child, stood up, walked out to the forest. He had that determination. So anyway, like I said, it's a long story, but he met a great devotee, Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gave him instruction in a sort of a practice of a type of yoga which would make him very powerful, but which would also endear him to Krishna. Different exercises and things to make him powerful. But then he actually taught him that you must chant this mantra. We already chanted it earlier. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It is a name of the Lord. Vasudeva is a name of Krishna. So, Dhruva then is doing these exercises, and chanting and chanting and chanting this name of the Lord. And this, he didn't really know what was going on, what he was doing, because he's just a child. But actually the Lord became merciful upon him, and the Lord appeared to him personally and asked him, "What do you want?" And when Dhruva saw Krishna, Krishna was so beautiful, so incredibly, by our standards, unimaginably beautiful and just captivating. But when he asked Dhruva, "What do you want?" Dhruva said, "Well, I thought I wanted a big kingdom, but now I see you, I don't think a kingdom is of any value. I just want you. I just want your association and your mercy." And he said, "I wanted this kingdom. I thought it was very valuable, like a big pile of gems. But now I've seen you, that so-called big pile of gems, it's just like a big pile of broken colored glass." Yes, just rubbish, actually. Big pile of broken colored glass, it's just rubbish. Yes, so Dhruva became satisfied just by having the association of the Lord and by getting the mercy of the Lord. Then Krishna gave him a kingdom anyway, but Dhruva then was very detached from the kingdom because he had the association of the Lord personally. So like this, devotees and friends, whatever you're looking for in life, you want to pass your exams? Yeah? Is it difficult sometimes? Are you in high school next year? Okay. And you, young lady, are you in high school? Oh, you are. You're passing your exams. Okay. You need some help sometimes. Okay. Chant Hare Krishna. Worship Krishna. And if you try and do it sincerely, he'll give you his mercy. You'll pass your exams. But then he will give you more. He will give you access to Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme abode. So like this, rather than be interested in just temporary goals, which we can get from the demigods like that, rather we should try for the highest goal, the eternal kingdom of God, from where we never have to return to this world and get born again in ignorance. And who knows where you'll get born again, and in what form or what even species of life, what type of family, who knows? Better to take shelter of Krishna. He will help you in this lifetime, and at the end of this lifetime, back home, back to Godhead, to the eternal kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, what now? Okay, yeah, any comments or questions? Because you know what he told me? Our host, Krishna Chandra. You know what he told me? I'll tell you what he told me. He told me that all the devotees in Alberton are very intelligent. That means all of you in the back row too. You're all very intelligent and very thoughtful people. And you take these things very seriously. And so he told me, probably you're going to have a few questions or comments. And he said also the children are very intelligent. So any comments or questions? Yes.
Time is very limited.
Yeah.
So you, as you one gets older, one realizes it's more.
Yes.
I think it's because time is so limited, we want to achieve something of significance in our lives.
Right.
Is that a good thing? The desire to achieve something.
Okay. Well, you know, as long as it's not just some sort of not very important material thing. If you want to achieve something significant for the pleasure of Krishna, like establish a nice temple for Krishna, and just as an example, then that's a nice ambition, because we, as living beings, we naturally have desire to become desireless or just inanimate, immobile, like a stone. That's not really part of the nature of a person in this world. People are active. People are active. They do things. They want to do things. But rather than want to just do something like we were saying, achieve something temporary in this world, like some high educational qualification, which will be lost. What's your age now?
40 this year.
40. So, you know, by the law of averages, maybe you've got 30 or 40 years to go or something. Well, you're already halfway, you may be a little more than halfway. And then it's going to be lost, whatever it is. It'll be lost. But if we do something for the pleasure of Krishna, that's eternal. It's eternal. The benefit is eternal. And then we return to the kingdom of God. So to have some ambition, some desire to do something, achieve something, establish some worthy thing is nice, as long as it's something of that sort and not just a typically material type of thing. Like Prabhupada said, actually, you know, it's an interesting point. Everyone here, or most everyone, is from Indian backgrounds at least. You all heard of Mahatma Gandhi. Even today he's somewhat famous. Going back to when he was alive, he was extremely famous. Really one of the most famous people of, you know, like what, the last, say, 100 years or something like that. So Gandhi wanted to do something. I mean, you might not be so familiar, but he wanted India to again adopt village culture. He didn't want the people just to go to the cities and work in the factories. He wanted the people to go back to the villages, spin their own cloth. Yeah, he wanted them to make their own cloth, grow their own food. This is actually what Gandhi wanted. But then he died, assassinated. And what's going on in India? Everyone's going out of the villages to the cities. And even in the villages, you know, they're farming with tractors. They're using mechanical water pumps, machinery, and they're buying. You know, when you're in India, you see the majority of men. The women wear saris. The great majority of men just wear Western clothes. Jeans. Shirts with a collar. Why a collar? What you gonna do with a collar? Wear a tie. What's a tie good for? So it's, you know, poor old Gandhi, if he could see what's happened to India, he'd be just shocked. Totally different from what he wanted. So, you know, he desired, he had ambition, big ambition. But then he died, and everything just collapsed. So if we want to do something, we should try and figure out what to do, which has a lasting spiritual value. And then through that Krishna conscious activity, by the grace of Krishna, by his mercy at the end, we can return to the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Nandarani, didn't she sing nicely earlier?
Yes.
That was amazing. Have I heard you sing before? Maybe. Not much. I came in and I was wondering, who's singing? There was Nandarani. All right, let's finish here then. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Now,